CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee will release publicly Thursday night 8 volumes covering much of the testimony as taken so far in the impeachment inquiry. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The report is said to run about 4,500 printed pages. It will be made public at 6:30 Thursday evening Eastern Time. The 7 bound volumes have been released to the press for study, but the information is embargoed until Thursday night. The release of the Judiciary Committee testimony comes on the heels of the Senate Watergate Committee's approval of the final chapter of its report, which was released Wednesday. The full Watergate report will be made public this weekend. The Watergate report charges John Ehrlichman pressured the Internal Revenue Service into speeding up an audit of Democratic Chairman Lawrence O'Brien's tax returns. Ehrlichman is quoted as saying, "I wanted them to turn up something and send O'Brien to jail before the election." CBS News continues after this.
Looking at our new international pickup, huh? Like to go for a spin? Okay, fasten your safety belt. Here we go. Notice how she handles the turns? The new international pickup has a wider track than the two largest selling pickups. A lower center of gravity, too. You can feel the difference? Oh, yeah. Well, we call it the other pickup because it's definitely not like the others. When you buy a new international pickup, you get 4 Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires on most models. No extra cost. They're worth $290, suggested retail price. It's a special promotion we're having until July 20th. Well, here we are back. Oh, yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. Hey, here, have a free tire gauge. Just for stopping in at a participating international dealer. You know, correctly inflated tires help you get better mileage. Okay, see you tomorrow. Hey, thanks for stopping in.
A strike by municipal employees continues in Baltimore. The mayor says if it goes much longer, a serious health hazard could develop. Val Hines reports.
3,000 employees have stayed away from their jobs for 11 days. They work on highways, trash trucks, sewage and water works, animal shelters, parks programs, the city jail, and some schools. Hospital workers are also talking about striking, and the police are handing out hundreds of parking tickets, including 2 on the mayor's car. The workers want to deal directly with the mayor. He says no.
The labor commissioner negotiated a binding contract with the union before. It was accepted by the union, it was in operation, and then the Wildcat strike went out, and then the union leaders joined them. So there was a contract. Now, who do we bargain with?
Baltimore's mayor spoke as a judge ruled against the union and extended an injunction of daily $15,000 fines until August 7th. Valheim for CBS News in Baltimore.
The College All-Star Game, the annual kickoff of the NFL summer exhibition schedule, has been canceled. The decision is considered a major victory for the striking NFL Players Association. Proceeds from the game would have gone to charity, but its sponsors had to cancel after the president of the Players Association, Bill Curry, told officials his group was in no position to give the game a dispensation.
We deeply, deeply regret the cancellation of the College All-Star Game. These young men have been put in a most untenable position. I think they've shown a lot of courage in their decision to attempt to force the two sides into meaningful collective bargaining.
Bill Curry, president of the NFL Players Association. The 40 college All-Star players seem a little disappointed. All-Star spokesman Dave Casper from Notre Dame was asked if he blamed the NFL Players Association.
I guess you can't blame them. I guess they think they're doing the right thing, and I can't make any moral judgment on what they did. I just think it was an unfortunate thing that we couldn't play the game.
All-Star spokesman Dave Casper, the NFL players are striking over so-called freedom issues, the right to decide for themselves which team they play for, rather than just being shuffled around. More after this.
Time magazine. In the current issue, a major study on the subject of leadership.
Leadership. It is a quality that is sought and needed in all societies by every nation. Yet what is it? Where do you find it? Who has it?
Is it a charismatic quality?
The triumph of pure will.
The effective example.
Pure tactical skill.
The current issue of Time tackles these questions in one of the most thorough and timely special sections Time has ever run.
More than half the issue is devoted to leadership in America.
A report on the nature of leadership itself.
How it works.
And doesn't work in a democracy.
Where there's seems to be a leadership vacuum.
And why our system of finding and developing future leaders offers great hope.
But time doesn't stop there. You'll also find a 28-page biographical gallery of 200 Americans who are likely to have significant civic or social impact.
200 faces from every section of the nation to watch for the future.
Times editors do not suggest that you'll agree with every choice. Time does hope, however, that this special issue on leadership will help you explore and discuss this topic that concerns every American.
Look for the leadership issue this week.
Time, the weekly news magazine.
Mexican authorities say the kidnappers of U.S. diplomat John Patterson were Americans seeking ransom money, not political terrorists dissatisfied with the Mexican government. Mexican and American authorities now say that a skeleton found near Hermosillo this week was that of Patterson, who vanished after leaving his office at the American consulate in March. A ransom note demanding $5,000 was sent to the consulate the same day. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI. The weather outlook for Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, and vicinity. Occasional showers tonight. Chance of scattered showers tomorrow and Friday. Periods of partial clearing. Lows both nights in the lower 50s. Highs in the mid-60s. Winds variable, but mostly southwest 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rainfall 60% tonight, 50% tomorrow, and 40% tomorrow night. 55 degrees downtown, 57 at SeaTac. The wind is east-southeast 4 miles per hour. Relative humidity 69%. Sea level barometric pressure 30.01 and steady. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater next. The time, 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the terrifying world of your own imagination. One day, a young man named Otis Manley Carter stood before a great work of art in the Metropolitan Museum in New York. It was a portrait so beautiful that it brought tears to his eyes. And Otis Manley Carter whispered, "My soul, to be able to paint like that." It was an idle remark, spoken without thinking, on the spur of the moment. How was Otis Manley Carter to know that someone might be listening?
Where'd you learn how to paint, Otis?
At the Fine Arts Institute.
No. I spoke to Professor DeMarco. They flunked you. You didn't show him any ability at all. Where'd you learn how to paint?
Oh, come on, Bert. I was born with it. It just comes naturally. I've been painting all my life.
But you're over 30. How come there are no paintings of yours more than 2 or 3 years old? Where did you learn how to paint, Otis?
Bert, what are you driving at?
Answer this, Otis. How come all the people whose pictures you painted are dead?
I don't...
Where'd you learn how to paint, Otis?
Our mystery drama, A Portrait of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Nat Pullen. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Some research experts say you can't taste the difference between beers. Well, if they're right, then Anheuser-Busch wastes a barrel of time Beechwood aging Budweiser. Only they don't think so. Brewing beer right does make a difference. And they're betting a bundle that you can taste the difference in Bud. When it comes to brewing Budweiser, the Anheuser-Busch choice is to go all the way because they still care about quality. Look at it this way. If the Bud people have a choice between what some experts say and what beer drinkers say, well, you'd better believe they'll go with you beer drinkers every time. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm going to rent this apartment, but now the landlord wants a deposit equal to 2 months' rent to cover damage. I wonder if there's anything I should do to protect myself.
Mac,
who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, deposits are usual, but before you move into that apartment, go through it thoroughly and list any and all damage. Now prepare this list in duplicate and have your landlord sign both copies. And before you sign that lease, find out what sort of repairs you will be responsible for and which would be paid by the landlord.
Then, when you move, this list helps to solve the mystery of who's to pay for what, right?
Right.
At the age of 30, Otis Manley Carter was hailed as the world's foremost living artist. He towered above his contemporaries. To describe his work, one had to compare it with the great masters of the past. No one, but no one, painting today, could breathe life into a portrait to match Otis Manley Carter. And yet, just 1 week before his 31st birthday, Otis made the announcement that would stun the civilized world. He was finished with art. Never again would his brush touch paint to canvas. He would neither amplify his statement nor answer questions. He simply disappeared, and only two people in all the world knew the reason why. One, of course, was Otis himself. The other was a detective on the New York City police force, Sergeant Bert Dennison.
Bert, what are you doing?
Just having a cup of coffee.
We'll be late.
Late? All I gotta do is put on my jacket, and that takes all of 15 seconds.
Oh, I'm just so nervous.
Why?
Why? Do you know who's gonna be there tonight?
Well, sure.
The governor, the mayor, celebrities, the news media, the critics.
Lucy, I'm impressed.
After all, the showing of a new portrait by Otis Manley Carter has the same impact as the World Series or a Super Bowl or a heavyweight champion fight.
Well, if you put brown sugar in coffee, do you save calories?
Do you realize, Bert, that we, that you and I, are going to be sharing the spotlight with Otis?
Well, you will, that's for sure.
Oh, Bert, what does he see in me?
Oh, come on, honey.
No, I mean it.
Well, let's see. You're pretty.
Well, I'm not beautiful.
And you're smart.
But I'm not brilliant.
What can I tell you? He's an artist. All artists are crazy.
But the most fascinating women in the world are ready to throw themselves at his feet.
Sis, you're pretty fascinating yourself.
Thanks to you, Bert.
Thanks to me?
You sent me through college, and there were the trips to Europe.
Well, I had to shape you up before I could marry you off. And it looks like you got yourself the grand prize, the great Otis Manley Carter.
Oh, Bert, I want you to like him.
Oh, I like him.
He's so sweet, so kind.
Except.
Except? What do you mean, except?
Well, except every time he paints somebody's picture, it seems to me that person dies.
What are you talking about?
Now, tonight's portrait, that actress, Lila Beaumont. She just died suddenly, didn't she?
But what does that have to do
and
with...
In the last 5 years, he painted four other women. Not one of those women is alive today. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. But may I ask you how you knew that?
I checked Mr. Otis Carter out.
World famous artist or not, I ran him through the ringer.
Do you mean you actually investigated Otis?
Do you think I'd let you marry him if I didn't?
Honestly, I don't know anyone who lives his job 24 hours a day. You never forget you're a policeman.
I'm supposed to be on duty 24 hours a day, otherwise I'm cheating the taxpayers.
Well, what are you trying to imply about Otis?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just an observation. Idle observation.
Oh, Otis, darling. You're having a triumph. It's a fantastic success.
Well, what did you think of the painting, Bert?
It's a good picture.
Oh, listen to him, a good picture. Is that all you can say?
Well, it's certainly lifelike, I'll say that.
Oh, thank you, Bert.
Good evening, Otis.
Professor DeMarco.
May I offer my congratulations?
I'm honored, Professor, honored. May I present my fiancée and my prospective brother-in-law, Miss Lucy Dennison, Detective Sergeant Dennison, Professor DeMarco of the Fine Arts Institute.
How do you do?
Glad
to meet you. Otis, once again, you force me to eat crow.
Oh, come on, Professor, please.
No, no, I was wrong about you, Otis, wrong, and I don't care who knows it.
Yeah, but the truth is, Professor DeMarco, you taught me everything I know.
The truth is, you didn't start to paint until after you left me. Congratulations, Otis, on a double triumph this evening. Your painting and your fiancée. Each is a magnificent work of art.
Thank you, sir.
Now, if you'll excuse me, Sergeant Dennison, Lucy.
Yes, sir.
Well, he never got over it. And I don't think he ever will. He said I'd never amount to anything.
Oh, but you're not serious, darling. How could anyone who knows anything about art?
Oh, there's Erich von Heiden. Oh,
the one who's doing the new book about
him? Come on, darling. I'll introduce you.
Give me a rain check. I feel the need for a little refreshment.
Excuse me, sir. I hope I didn't spill that on... Sergeant...
Dennison, sir.
Of course.
You know, Professor DeMarco, I've been watching you.
What? That sounds ominous. Why would a police detective be watching me?
Because I'm curious.
About what?
About the look on your face.
What about the look on my face?
It's the only look of its kind in the house.
How do you mean that?
Well, analyze all the faces around you. What do you see? Excitement, boredom, happiness, anxiety.
And what's my look?
I would say puzzlement. Actually, you look completely confused.
I suppose I am. I still can't understand what happened. Otis was my student at the Institute.
And you said he'd never amount to anything.
I did. And you can see how it's come back to haunt me. Believe me, he had absolutely no concept whatever of the elementary principles of art. He had no feeling for line, for color, for form. I recommended he be dropped from the school.
You not only go out on a limb, you bring your own saw.
Well, 6 months later, he astounded the entire world with his portrait of that alderman's wife.
Mm-hmm.
The first of the Otis Manley Carter famous portraits.
How do you account for that?
Well, at first, I refused to believe he could paint like that.
And maybe he doesn't. Maybe it's all done with mirrors.
No. There are no mirrors, no tricks. I went up to his studio. He paints. But where did he learn? How did he learn? From whom?
There must be an answer.
Naturally.
But can you even speculate?
He probably sold his soul to the devil.
You realize that isn't an answer?
Of course. But it's the only one I can think of at the moment.
Come in.
Hello there, Otis. Hope I'm not disturbing you.
I was about to take a break. Coffee?
Oh, sure. That was quite a bash last night, huh?
Necessary evil.
You seem to enjoy it.
But that's why it's an evil. It turns your head and wastes your time and keeps you from doing your job, which for me is to paint.
Where did you learn to paint, Otis?
at the Fine Arts Institute. Do you take sugar?
Yeah, one lump, thanks.
Okay.
I don't think you learned how to paint at the Institute, Otis.
Milk?
Yeah, sure.
All righty.
Professor DeMarco and I had a long talk about you last night. He thought you were a lost cause.
Well, he did. And I suppose I was for a while.
So, how did the ugly duckling turn into a swan?
Well, some people are slow learners.
DeMarco claims you just didn't have it.
No, he was wrong. I always had it, but it was only in my mind. I was showing him nothing but meaningless blobs and dabs. They had to drop me from the school.
Mm-hmm. Where did you study after that?
Nowhere. I just went to the museum every day.
That's all?
That's all. And then, one morning I was looking at some of the old masters, just worshiping at the shrine, as it were, and wishing and hoping and praying that one day I too could... Well, the most remarkable thing happened.
Yes?
Well, suddenly everything that Professor DeMarco had ever tried to teach me just began to make sense. No, it was more than that. It all became a part of the way I feel and the way I think and the way I see. I was trembling all over.
What did you do?
I went home, picked up my brushes, and from that day on, I was a painter.
Just like that?
Well, in psychology, there is such a thing as the delayed reaction.
Yeah, I know.
Bert, Lucy and I want you to join us for dinner tonight, hmm?
I never refuse an invitation to dinner.
Oh.
Otis.
Hmm?
Your latest portrait of Lila Beaumont.
Poor Lila. She never really saw it. She died the day it was finished.
What did she die of?
I don't know, Bert. I don't think anybody does.
Sergeant, I wasn't her regular physician.
Who was, Doctor?
I don't think she had one. She seemed to be one of those fortunate, healthy people who never needed medicine.
Mm-hmm. Where did she die, Dr. Caswell?
In Mr. Carter's studio, and since my office is just next door...
Was she alive when you got there?
Just barely. She seemed to show all the signs of utter exhaustion. So that's what I wrote on the death certificate. Afterward, I thought about it, and I asked for an autopsy.
Why?
I simply couldn't believe it.
What did the autopsy reveal?
Nothing. I was right in the first place. But I still don't believe it.
Again, why?
Well, how could she change so radically in such a short time?
What do you mean by change?
Have you seen the portrait Carter painted of her?
Yes, uh-huh.
It's just brimming with robust good health. It's exactly how she looked. Just about 2 months before she died, I saw her get out of the cab that first time she came to Carter's studio.
And?
2 months later, I was shocked.
Why?
As I said, I'd never witnessed such a rapid decline. She was losing a lot of weight. Her color was gone. She looked so tired.
What did you think was happening?
I didn't know what to think. I decided to speak to Otis. After all, I knew him when he was just a starving young artist. One morning, I walked up to his studio.
Well, what can I do for you, Doctor?
Busy, Otis?
Well, Lila Beaumont will be here any minute.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. Is she under medical care?
Well, why? Well, why should she be?
Can't you see why?
What are you talking about?
Otis, she looks terrible.
Oh, she looks great.
She's becoming dangerously thin. She has no color.
Are you serious?
Are you serious, Otis?
Well, I don't understand what you're trying to say.
You mean you can't see anything wrong with Lila Beaumont?
She looks better than ever. Ah, good morning, Lila.
Hello, Otis.
Well, you're looking just sensational, as usual. Lila, I'd like you to meet Dr. Caswell.
How do you do?
Oh, Otis, I...
I'm so tired this morning. Could I have a cup of coffee?
Well, coming up, I just have to heat it.
Miss Beaumont, I hope you're seeing a doctor.
Why?
Look in the mirror.
You're very perceptive, Dr. Caswell.
Perceptive? It's obvious. For one thing, you're losing your looks.
Oh, yes.
Your looks are your livelihood. Shouldn't you want to do something about it?
What can I do? There's a man, and he no longer loves me.
But a doctor could prevent this ravaging.
There's no way a doctor can help me.
But you need special treatment. I would say, Miss Beaumont, that right now you should be in a hospital.
Oh, you may be right, Doctor. I don't care anymore.
Is that the reason she died, Dr. Caswell? Because some guy gave her the gate?
They say you can die of a broken heart.
What do you say?
Well, I just can't see a vital and perfectly healthy woman like Lila Beaumont simply withering away in so short a time.
But if her appearance had changed so drastically, how come Otis didn't see it?
You'll have to ask Otis.
You still haven't told me, Dr. Caswell. What did she die of?
But I did tell you. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, what did she die of? And what, if anything, can it have to do with Otis Manley Carter? Detective Sergeant Dennison has a nagging, indefinable feeling. That's just the trouble. In most of the murder cases Bert has solved, the solution always began with a nagging, indefinable feeling. We'll see where this feeling leads when I return shortly with Act Two.
Hello, this is Goldilocks. It seemed like only yesterday that I was a little girl tasting porridge. You know, this one's too hot. This one's too cold. And now I conduct taste tests on diet drinks. And there's one I must tell you about, Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up. It has a fresh, natural, delicious taste. It drives my taste meter crazy. Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of all the concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is one of the things that help make Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Hi.
Hi, I'm in nuclear research.
Nuclear research?
Uh-huh.
Hey, wow, I took you for a salami.
I beg your pardon?
A salami salesman, I thought for sure. Nuclear research,
yeah.
And so young. Doesn't that take years and years of college?
Not necessarily. Well, today you can have a college grad's career with only a year or two of technical education. Look, it's all here in this free book, 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. It tells you how you can get into programming, chemistry, architecture, community service work, forestry.
Forestry? That would be great for this friend of mine. He loves to play in the woods.
Play in the woods?
Where do you get this free book, 25 Technical Careers?
Just write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202?
Yeah, send for it. It tells you how you can have a college grad's career without 4 years of college.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Sergeant Bert Dennison has always been an intuitive detective. He trusted his instincts. He played his hunches. He followed his theories wherever they led him. Usually to the right answer. But this time, he has absolutely no idea of how to arrive at the answer. As a matter of fact, at this point, he can't even formulate the question.
you really should skip dessert, Bert.
I'll only have one helping.
Well, do you want to tell him, Lucy?
No, darling, I think you should be the one.
Somebody's supposed to tell me something? I hope the wedding hasn't been canceled.
Oh, no, no, Bert. Sunday, right on schedule.
Otis has something to say to you, Bert.
We have a wedding gift for you, Bert.
Me? Why? I'm not getting married.
Well, that's why you need a gift. Now, on Sunday, Lucy is leaving your house forever. That sounds kind of stuffy, doesn't
it?
Keep going, darling. You're doing fine.
And so, therefore, to make sure you never forget what she looks like...
How can I forget what she
looks
like?
Bert, don't interrupt.
We decided that I would paint a portrait of Lucy and present it to you.
Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine that you're going to own an original Otis Manley Carter?
Yeah, but...
Well, what is it?
Well, these things are valuable. You just can't afford...
$1 million couldn't buy all the wonderful things you did for your sister, and I'm grateful.
Bert, what's on your mind?
Well, isn't it bad luck for an artist to... paint a picture of his own wife?
Oh, now, where did you ever hear that? They all did it.
Bert, something is bothering you.
Well, I might as well say it. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I couldn't accept the gift.
Bert!
Why?
I just can't explain it. Otis, you want to give me a gift I'd really like?
Of course.
Well, just promise me you'll never paint a picture of Lucy. Never.
Now, what kind of nonsense...
I'm asking him, Lucy. What about it, Otis?
Well, one of the reasons I'm marrying her is so that I can always have her near me, so that I can always capture those fantastic expressions and moods.
Oh, really? I thought you fell in love with my mind.
I did. It's your mind that gives animation and meaning.
What about it, Otis?
I wish you'd tell me why.
I wish I could. But I don't think I can. How about it, Otis? Will you promise?
All right, Bert. I promise.
Homicide, Lieutenant Callahan. Oh, well, nothing, dear. Just sitting around. Albany, just Bert Dennison. Oh, no. Well, he used to be a million laughs. He isn't anymore. Just stares into space all day. That's so. All right, I'll tell him. You ought to get married, Bert. Puts a little zing in your life. And now that your sister's gone, you've got no excuse.
Why don't you get off my back?
Jenny was downtown this morning. She told me she ran into your sister.
I'll even buy your... What did you say?
Jenny saw your sister Lucy in one of the stores.
She couldn't have seen my sister. Lucy and Otis are on a trip to Mexico.
See? You don't know everything. Maybe they came back. As a matter of fact, maybe that's why they came back.
What are you talking about?
Jenny said Lucy didn't look too good.
She what?
Hey, Bert, where are you going?
Bert!
Yes, it's Bert. You never told me you were back.
Oh, we meant to. We just got in this morning and we haven't even unpacked.
Of course not. How could you unpack when you never packed in the first place? All your clothes are in the closet. Bags are up on the shelf. You didn't go anywhere, did you?
Well,
I want you to call a doctor.
What?
It's Dr. Caswell. He's just next door.
Well, why do I need a doctor?
You look terrible.
Oh, well,
you lost about 5 pounds. There's no color in your face.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I lost 5 pounds because I'm on a diet. And if there's no color in my face, it's because I don't have my makeup on.
You sound tired.
Well, we were up late last night.
Why did you want me to think you were in Mexico?
Bert, you and I, we've been very close. We've shared a home. You've practically raised
me. Never mind all that. What are you leading up to?
Well, we'd see each other every day and talk to each other and actually... have no lives away from each other.
I wasn't aware of that.
So, I thought that since I'm a married woman now, we just have to get used to a different kind of relationship.
Uh-huh. You can tell when I'm lying. I can tell when you're lying. Otis broke his promise, didn't he?
What promise?
His promise never to paint your picture.
Well, How can you say that?
Why don't I ask you?
You can't ask him. He isn't home.
All right, I'll wait.
But he may be gone all day.
Who rang the bell just before? Oh. Hi, Bert. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Just fine. You've been painting, I see. Anyone I know?
Well, I haven't been painting exactly. I've been cleaning brushes, things like that. You know, chores.
Why don't we go inside and see?
Bert! Bert, if you walk into that studio, I'll never talk to you again as long as I live.
If I don't walk into that studio, you'll be dead in a month.
Bert! Oh, Bert, we wanted so much for you to have a portrait of me.
Yeah, so I see.
No, not yet. You don't see. It's nowhere near finished, but you can just sense what it's going to be like.
Bert, it's going to be my finest work because it's for you.
Oh, darling, don't be unreasonable.
You can't finish that painting, Otis.
Tell me why. Why?
Otis. For some reason, you kill the people you paint.
What?
Don't
Bert?
Interrupt me. It's not easy to say this. And I can imagine what it must sound like, but... Otis, you've painted the portraits of 5 women. Every one of them is dead.
But that has nothing to
Each
do with
one
my...
died on the day you finished the portrait.
Bert, have you any idea what you're saying?
I know what I'm saying. And it gets worse. But it's true.
What's true?
Otis, the truth is you're not a painter.
How can you
Please,
say
Please, this isn't easy, sis. Just thank God there were 3 people who love each other. And can solve our problem together.
Bert, how can you say I'm not an artist?
DeMarco said you had absolutely no talent.
DeMarco? He's a jealous old fraud.
But he's right. When you came to him, you had absolutely no ability, no talent.
How do you account for the fact that I create
so
many...
You don't paint, Otis.
Bert.
Hear me out, please. Somehow, and I don't even think you're aware of it, you have the ability to drain the life out of your subject. And project it onto the canvas. Well?
I just don't understand what you're saying.
You're not aware of it. You didn't notice that Lila Beaumont was actually dying before your eyes. Just as the others did before her.
Bert, tell me this is a joke.
No, it isn't a joke. Look at Lucy Otis. She doesn't look ill.
I honestly can't see anything wrong.
Lucy... Look in the mirror. Look! And then tell me there's nothing wrong with you.
I don't have to look. I know.
Then what I have been saying...
It's just that... Well, I've been worried.
About what?
About Otis.
Darling, why?
Oh, I'm afraid one day you'll get tired of me.
Lucy.
There's so many women who are after you.
But you're the only woman I want. You know that.
Yes, I know. But sometimes I can't sleep at night, and that's the reason that I'm not looking my best.
No, no. The painting's the reason. And, Otis, you must promise to destroy that painting.
I can't do that.
Then I will.
Bert, put down that knife.
Take your hand off me, Otis.
Bert, don't hit him.
I won't let you destroy my painting.
And I won't let you kill my sister.
Otis! Bert! Stop that!
Lucy, stop him!
That takes care of that.
Bert, you're crazy.
Get up, Otis. I didn't hit you that hard.
Look at what you did to my painting. Do you know what you've done?
Yes. I destroyed the canvas. And look. Look at your wife. Look at yourself, Lucy. Your color is back.
Bert, you're a fool. If my color is back, it's because I'm furious.
No, no. You've got your old vitality and strength. You'll be all right now, Lucy.
Bert!
There's really nothing we can talk about. I did what I had to do. And now let's forget it. Except for one thing, Otis. Promise me your word of honor that you'll never try to paint Lucy's portrait again.
But I can't
promise... I'll put it this way, Otis. If you ever try to paint her portrait, I'll kill you.
Hi, Bert.
Callahan.
Thought I'd find you down here in the range. Good cluster, except for that one shot off to the left.
Probably a faulty cartridge.
Sure, it's never the shooter, it's always the shell. What is it you're getting out of your system tonight?
Nothing at all.
Want to sit down and talk for a minute?
About what?
About you and me.
All right. What does it ever say?
We have to decide what I'm going to do about you.
Why?
Because Otis and Lucy were in my office this afternoon. They're two very scared kids.
They've got nothing to be scared of.
Not for themselves. For you.
Why?
Oh, come on. Bert, you know why they told me everything.
Oh, that's nice. My own sister.
She only did it because she loves you.
Yeah, yeah. She told you how all of them die when he paints their portraits?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Here's what I think. I just put in this application.
Application?
Your leave of absence.
But I'm not...
Yes, you are. It'll all be done quietly, and when you're better, you can come back to duty as if nothing happened.
Where am I supposed to go?
There's a private sanitarium. Absolutely the top doctor.
Callahan, I'm not crazy.
Of course not. You just got this temporary little quirk.
But...
And it can be ironed out easily. Subconsciously, I guess you just miss not having Lucy around the house.
Well, thanks for everything, but I'm not going.
In light of what happened in the studio this morning, I'm afraid your choices are limited.
Callahan!
Is it the quiet private sanitarium, or do we have to put you into the city hospital for observation?
Callahan, what are you telling me?
I'm telling you to hand over your revolver.
Who was it who wrote, "Heaven keep me safe from my well-meaning friends"? It's certainly a sentiment that's shared right now by Detective Sergeant Bert Dennison. All he wants to do is prevent a terrible tragedy. And who's trying to stop him? Those people who truly love him. We're going to meet more well-meaning people when I return shortly with Act 3.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. We know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
Tiny time pills in one contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergy to contact.
Take contact only when needed, only as directed.
The Veterans Administration helps people in little ways.
A veteran, let's say, is trying to get an appointment. He's filed to go to school under the GI Bill. He's not getting any money, but he's entitled. Well, what's wrong with writing a letter saying that under the law, this man is entitled to receive $220 a month for attending school on a full-time basis? Believe it or not, he can take that letter with the little job, take it to the real estate people, and because he has an additional income of $220, although he isn't receiving it, it makes his chances of getting that apartment much better. And this is what I mean about the little things. Going beyond the duty every once in a while. Just go a little bit out of your way to help someone. That's my philosophy. To me, these are little things. But big things to that person. A big thing to that person.
At VA, we try a little harder to help.
Mirror is the face of an old friend. Sergeant Dennison stares at Lieutenant Callahan, stares at the look on Callahan's face. It's a strange look, a look that's a mixture of pity, concern, and fear. And suddenly Dennison realizes that this must be the same look that showed so often when he knew he had to arrest a suspect who might turn out to be criminally insane.
I have to have your service revolver, Bert.
Want to put the cuffs on me too, Callahan?
Cut it out.
Why not? It's a pinch, isn't it?
It's nothing of the sort, and you know it. Now look, let's go to your apartment, pick up some stuff, and I'll drive you to this place myself.
Tell me something. Tell me something, Callahan. Don't you want to hear my side of it?
Bert, you slugged your brother-in-law. You slashed the painting.
Mm-hmm. So?
That's violence.
You and me, we never used violence in the line of duty.
Justified force.
Slice it anyway. Why am I wrong this time?
Because what you say is crazy.
Callahan, you and me, we're not the new breed of college cops who know everything. But still, we're very careful about that word crazy.
You mean you really believe Otis kills people by painting their portraits?
Yeah, yeah. Quit fighting me. Work with me.
How?
Let's go out and get some expert testimony.
What's here?
This is the doctor who attended Lila Beaumont just before she died. And he's completely stumped by the whole thing.
Yes, I was dissatisfied with the cause of death.
Dr. Caswell, you said you didn't believe she could change so radically in so short a time.
I did say that.
You also said you couldn't see how a splendid physical specimen like Lila Beaumont could just wither away.
Yes, I remember. I did say that, too.
And even though you signed a death certificate which listed exhaustion as the cause of death, nobody really knew what she did die of.
Well, I've since come to believe that she really could have died of exhaustion.
But you said
exhaustion plus loss of the will to live.
But you were convinced there was a mysterious cause.
I didn't use that word.
But, Doctor, you led me to believe...
I was merely ventilating some doubts, some misgiving.
But the other women who died...
I wasn't there. I don't know.
You told me, Professor DeMarco, that Otis had no concept of the basic principles of art.
I did.
No feeling for line, form, color.
I think I said something like that.
And since those things can't be learned, there was no way he could become a painter.
Oof. It's a relative thing.
Well, you even went so far as to say the only way he could have learned them was if he'd sold his soul to the devil.
That was a figure of speech.
He never did learn to be a painter. Something happened. He found a way, or was given a way, who knows, to draw the vital essence from a living thing and put it on canvas.
I don't think I could agree with...
I can prove it. Look at everything he's done. He's never painted an inanimate object. Just the face, the body, but no clothes, no furniture, no jewels, no decorations.
I'm sorry if I gave you the wrong impression. Maybe I was jealous.
Jealous of what? You said he had no talent.
Maybe that was a lie I told myself. Maybe I resented his youth, his promise. After all, I never fulfilled mine.
Yeah, sure. And besides, you really don't want to be remembered as the art teacher who flunked Otis Manley Carter. I guess that's the simple answer.
I wish there were such a thing as a simple answer.
Well, Bert, you've got to admit it's really a comfortable room with a great view of the ocean. And you've even got a refrigerator.
Yeah. What happens now, Callahan?
Well, starting tomorrow, the doctors will begin working with you. You'll be straightened out in no time.
I see. I'm the one who has to be straightened out.
That's how it is.
Even if I happen to be right.
Those are the rules of the game, Bert.
But I'm not crazy, Callahan.
You and I know what crazy is. Crazy is when most people don't agree with you.
You're a big help.
I'll come up and see you this week.
I can hardly wait.
I better ring for the guy to come let me out.
What do you mean you got a ring?
Well, door's locked from the outside.
Huh?
It doesn't mean anything, Bert. It's just routine. I mean...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I might as well be in jail.
You wanted something, Sergeant?
Yeah, Jerry. How can I make a phone call?
You can't.
What do you mean, I can't?
Well, the first couple of weeks you can. It's like you got to get your interviews and orientation.
But I have to make a phone call.
The doctor says...
Forget what the doctor says.
Look, part of the treatment is to isolate you completely from your former environment.
But I have to know if my sister is okay.
She's okay.
How do you know?
Because if she wasn't, you'd be told about it.
Yeah. I know I can't make a phone call. But if I could, where would I make it from?
Well, there's a phone outside, at the end of the hall.
There is, huh? Jerry, I want to show you something.
What?
Answer it.
Hello?
Lucy.
What?
Lucy.
Yes, I'm Lucy. Who is this?
It's me, Bert.
Who?
Bert.
No, Bert isn't here. Could you call back later?
Lucy! Oh, my good Lord. Lucy.
What? Who?
He's painting your picture again. I've got to destroy that canvas.
Don't move, Bert.
Otis.
Don't make me shoot, Bert.
Now listen, Otis. You don't want to kill me.
No. I'd only want to hit you in the foot, but I'm a bad shot. Now please, Bert, just stand still.
What are you doing with the gun, Otis? That's not your style.
Callahan called us. He said you'd broken out of the sanitarium. He wants me to phone him if you show up here.
You're killing Lucy. Look at her.
Bert, I don't know what's gotten into you.
Is the painting almost finished?
What business is that of yours?
What more has to be done on the painting?
Well, I just have to finish her mouth.
And when you do, she's going to die.
How can you believe...
Do you love her, Otis?
You know I love her.
Destroy the painting.
I can't.
I can.
I'm warning you, Bert.
I'm going to walk into your studio... And I'm going to destroy that painting.
You take one step and I'll shoot you.
I'll just have to take the chance.
I've still got 5 bullets in the gun. All of them can't miss.
Otis, look at Lucy. Look at her. She's dying.
That isn't true.
You don't want to see it. If I could prove you're killing her, would you destroy the painting?
How could you prove
that? Would you destroy the painting?
Yes.
Let's go back into the studio, Otis.
Ah, no, it's a trick.
You've got the gun, Otis. What are you afraid of? Come on.
All right, you just stand near the wall. You keep far away from my painting.
It's beautiful.
Then why do you want me to destroy it?
Because it is Lucy.
Why did you bring me in here to prove?
That you... kill a living thing when you paint it. On the windowsill, Otis, that flower, that geranium, paint it.
Sure, I'll put the gun down and pick up the brush and you'll jump.
You're afraid, you're scared.
You're crazy, what you're saying is crazy.
Here's your chance to prove it, Otis. Paint that flower. And if nothing happens to it, I promise, I'll go away quietly. Well?
I will. Quick sketch. How do you like it?
It's beautiful.
All right, now look at the windowsill. Look at the geranium. Go on, look at the Oh, no, Bert, what happened to it?
You can see what happened.
I can't believe it.
But it's true. The color is gone. It's wilted, withered. Dead.
No.
They're all dead. Lila Beaumont. Those other women. And Lucy is dying. Before it's too late, Otis, you know what you have to do.
No.
Otis!
You do it for me.
No. You have to destroy that canvas yourself.
Why?
Because I can't keep watching you guarding my sister forever. You have to put an end to it yourself.
I promise I won't paint Lucy.
You must never paint anybody.
I don't know if I can give it up.
But you're not really a painter, Otis. Somehow you stumbled into some sort of mysterious power. and now you've got to give it up. Destroy the painting. I'll go back to Lucy.
How do you know I just won't finish it? How can you trust me?
I trust you. I trust you because you love Lucy. Lucy? Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Lucy.
Oh, Bert. Oh, I must have been napping. Oh, I feel so refreshed.
Yes, you're looking better.
Bert, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be...
I know. I'm supposed to be crazy. I don't worry about it.
Otis, Bert's here. Shouldn't we...
No. Everything's all right.
I better go straighten everybody out. Especially Callahan.
Painting? Is it my imagination or... What happened to the painting?
I decided to give it up.
Otis, how could you?
Will you love me even if I'm not a famous painter?
But, darling,
sure, she'll love you, Otis. She'll love you even more.
She'll love you even more. There's a lot of truth to that, Otis. A woman in love with a famous man has a problem. She wants him all to herself, but she is forced to share him with the entire world. And you ladies in our audience might think about it, too. If you're married to a man who doesn't seem to be going anywhere special, look on the brighter side. Just think, you can have him all to yourself. I'll be back shortly.
You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally, taste testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I've just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste tested it hundreds of times, and each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
What killed those women? A coincidence of real and fancied illness? Or can an artist really drain the life from a living creature and transform it to canvas? Certain primitive tribes agree. It's taboo to create a likeness. Maybe they know what they're talking about. Our cast included Nat Poland, Marion Seldes, Jack Grimes, Jackson Beck, and Roger DeCoven. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
This morning I felt the way you do. But damn it all, you haven't seen what I've seen. That Indian looked like he'd been scalped. I know, I saw it. I'm not just talking. Now, we've got to get rid of the horse.
Jeff, listen to me, dear. If we give in now, we'll lose all authority. This taboo, or whatever it is stupid and barbaric, and we're not going to yield to it. Now, I'm going to make some coffee.
Stay away from the sink. And that's not superstition. The pipes form a perfect ground for the lightning.
You mean I can't even run water for coffee?
Not until the worst of the storm is over. Now, it's heading for us right now. Joe was telling me that before lightning strikes, you can sometimes feel an electric charge run through your body. You feel your hairs rise. It's the hand of Chin D.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
listen to Mystery Theater again tomorrow night. Same time, same station. Stay tuned for the news next.
Station, KIXI, dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
11 o'clock.
CBS News, positive identification has now been made. Officials agree the body being examined in Hermosillo, Mexico, is that of kidnapped victim John Patterson, an American diplomat. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. American and Mexican authorities announced Wednesday night that dental charts and other evidence shows the body definitely is that of Patterson, the 31-year-old U.S. vice consul in Hermosillo, Mexico, who disappeared March 22nd. Officials say Patterson was murdered shortly after he was abducted. Mexican authorities are now saying the kidnappers of Patterson were Americans demanding ransom money and not Mexican political terrorists. I'll have more news after this message. Hart's Mountain announces the no flea guarantee. We're so sure our flea-killing collar kills any flea on your dog or cat, we'll give you an unconditional money-back guarantee. If not satisfied, write Hart's, Harrison, New Jersey. The Hart's flea-killing collar, the collar with a no flea guarantee.
Give the Hart's flea-killing collar immediately. We guarantee you'll never see an itchy flea.
Stanley Myron Handelman.
Did you know you can have a college grad's career without 4 years of college? All you need is a year or two of technical education to work in fields like engineering, health service, automotive design, and forestry. The facts are in a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. Just write, Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Up until 2 hours ago, Pan American World Airways was facing a possible strike by some 11,000 ground workers, but that's been avoided. Pan Am spokesman Bryce Miller has this information.
Pan Am, the Transport Workers Union, at midnight reached the agreement on a new contract covering the mechanics, the ground service, the port stewards, flight service, dispatchers, commissary personnel. The terms of the agreement were not announced pending ratification by the union, but operations are continuing. And there will be no disruption.
If a strike had occurred, it could have shut down Pan Am's operations worldwide. The Senate Watergate Committee has issued its final report. Among the conclusions are a suggestion that President Nixon use campaign funds laundered by his banker friend Charles Beebe Rebozo to improve his estate in Key Biscayne, Florida, and to buy his wife Pat a set of diamond earrings. Presidential spokesman Ronald Ziegler called the report warmed over baloney. The White House is criticizing the House Judiciary Committee for releasing the impeachment evidence in sections. The White House demands all the evidence be made public immediately. One committee member, Democrat Edward Mazvinsky of Iowa, had this comment on the situation.
The heat is on now because there's a realization that our committee is going to make a decision. And the decision is going to be made before the end of the month. So hearing responses from the White House with the attempt to discredit the members of the committee and cast aspersions upon their integrity, I think is very unfair. But we have to understand it for exactly what it is. It's an attempt to discredit, divide, and then possibly make the final determination by the White House.
Congressman Edward Mazvinsky, a member of the House Judiciary Committee. A Russian-made Egyptian jetliner crashed Wednesday night on a training flight near Cairo. The Egyptians say all 6 persons aboard were killed, including 2 Egyptians and 4 Russian crew members. Frank Sinatra remained stranded in Australia after an altercation with some members of the Australian news media, after some of Sinatra's bodyguards got into a shoving match Tuesday with news people in Melbourne. Sinatra blasted the Aussie press. Labor unions retaliated by cutting off food and liquor to Sinatra's hotel rooms. Unions are also refusing to refuel Sinatra's plane until he apologizes. Among other comments, Sinatra referred to women journalists as buck-and-a-half hookers. Women members of the Australian Journalists Association have now sent Sinatra a telegram asking him for a clarification. Did he mean $1.50 in Australian or American currency? Now this.
Time magazine. In the current issue, a major study on the subject of leadership.
Leadership. It is a quality that is sought and needed in all societies by every nation. Yet what is it? Where do you find it? Who has it?
Is it a charismatic quality?
The triumph of pure will.
The effective example.
Pure tactical skill.
The current issue of Time tackles these questions in one of the most thorough and timely special sections Time has ever run.
More than half the issue is devoted to leadership in America.
A report on the nature of leadership itself.
How it works.
And doesn't work in a democracy.
Where there seems to be a leadership vacuum.
And why our system of finding and developing future leaders offers great hope.
But Time doesn't stop there. You'll also find a 28-page biographical gallery of 200 Americans who are likely to have significant civic or social impact.
200 faces from every section of the nation to watch for the future.
Time's editors do not suggest that you'll agree with every choice. Time does hope, however, that this special issue on leadership will help you explore and discuss this topic that concerns every American.
Look for the leadership issue this week.
Time, the weekly news magazine.
Republican Congressman Paul Finley of Illinois has introduced a bill that would outlaw mandatory retirement at a predetermined age. Finley says forced retirement at a given age is an outrageous form of discrimination. Congressman Finley says leaders of business and industry, as well as production workers, are being forced from their jobs simply because they reach the age of 65. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for the Great Northwest, KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle. The weather forecast for the Puget Sound area. Occasional showers tonight, chance of scattered showers tomorrow and Friday, with periods of partial clearing. Lows both nights in the lower 50s, highs in the mid-60s. Winds variable, but mostly southwest, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Presently, the temperature is 55 degrees.